Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. We're going to start a new series, and the next few days and weeks we'll be teaching on the good fight of faith. If you want to know what is required to walk and fight this good fight of faith that Paul was talking to Timothy about, just stay with us and listen, and we will tell you and teach you how this thing works. At the end of the program, you'll hear some numbers of how to get this teaching free in its entirety.
Let's go back just a few pages to James. Well, see, I never did finish that verse. I didn't finish that. I'm sorry. I just realized at first time five, I went to the sin unto death, and then I didn't go to the next verse. In verse 18, he says, "We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not." Now, that's a pretty strong statement for me and you, isn't it, J.C.? That puts me and you to the test, brother. Because we men, and we know we have sinned since we've become Christians. But we know what the requirements are, don't we? We're to walk holy before God. He said, "But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not." Now then, if you walk holy before God, what can the devil do to you? Can't touch you. That's right, brother. He can't touch you. So if you walk holy before God, you can walk across this earth and no devil, no sickness and disease can touch you. But that means you can't walk in the Masonic Lodge and do that, though, I guarantee you. But you found that out too, didn't you? That man found out as a 33rd degree Mason. He had been through a lot of oaths and taken a lot of blood oaths, and he realized that whenever they go through that ritual of Hiram Abiff, and that worshipful grandmaster comes up and gives, whispers the secret name of God in their ear, and nearly all lodges in America use one of two names, either Mahabon or Jebulon. Those two words are used in nearly every lodge as a secret name of God. And once that worshipful grandmaster whispers that name to you, you are never to repeat that name ever again. You are sworn to secrecy. They take that man, he goes around the room, and if it's a lodge with 20 or 30 men in it, every man tries to get him to give that name, and he refuses. And as he gets around to him, the last one symbolically kills him. He falls dead on the floor. Then the worshipful grandmaster comes up and straddles him and lays a pure white lambskin across his middle, a little white apron. And he says, "Now then, because you have refused to give the secret name of God, you're now worthy to be resurrected from the dead and to sit with the great architect of the universe." Now, it doesn't make a difference if you're a Buddhist, you're a Muslim, you're a nobody, you're a Christian or whatever. According to what they teach in Masonic Lodge, that man is now going to sit with the great architect of the universe, and they think that's going to be God the Father, and that's going to be the devil. The devil himself is your God. And there is no way to save any being on this earth except the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That is the only way. Jesus clearly said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man can come to the Father in heaven except he come through me and my blood." Ain't no way else to get there, is there? So if anybody teaches any other gospel, listen, Paul himself said, "Let them be accursed. Let them be accursed." So, when you take an organization like the Eastern Star, the Rainbow Girls, the Masonic Lodge, or any organization that the devil has got into, and which one do you think he does these things? So he can gain legal right to you. That's why he does this. So when you've repented of your sin as a father, if you already have children downstream of this sin, then all those children are already tainted with evil. So those children need to break that curse over them. And let me tell you something. It may be very difficult for that to happen because the God of this world is already in them. He's blinded their mind to the gospel, and it may be very difficult for those children to hear what you're telling them. They don't want to hear it. "Oh, Bob, you're just full of bull. That ain't going to work. I don't believe that stuff." Guess who that is that's talking to you? The devil. So before you even go to try to work on them, the first thing you got to do is learn how to catch yourself up into the third heaven and do warfare against the enemy and command the enemy, of which you, as a repentant Christian, have been given all power and all authority over the forces of darkness. As a repentant person, a child of God, You can literally catch yourself up into the throne of grace. According to Hebrews 4:16, you can walk straight into where your Heavenly Father is, and you can worship and praise Him for a few minutes. Then you can reach over and tell the devil, "Devil, come right in here, right here, right here, and I got a word for you. And I'm tired of you. You deceived me, and I've repented of all my sins. I've rebuked you and all of your curses. Now then, I am commanding you to take your spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies and your demons that are down on earth, and I'm commanding you to stop blinding the mind of my children. I demand that you get out and stop doing what you're doing to my family in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I ask you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you send a proper labor with the Holy Spirit, and you begin to convict my children of sin. And you send the proper labor into the office, and you pull them into the kingdom. Lord, I am not taking no for an answer. I'm doing this by faith in your word. Now then, I confess right now that I've been given the enemy a command to not blind the mind of my children no more. I've asked you, Father, to send the Holy Spirit to draw those children of mine into the kingdom of God. So, Lord, those children are saved, and I ask you to fill them with the Holy Spirit and use them mighty for your kingdom. And, Dad, I want you to know I ain't taking no for an answer. He said, that's what I've been waiting to hear you say. And he'll send the Holy Spirit, and you'll see people, you'll see him do great and mighty things. And there was a man said the other day on the radio, a Dallas theological professor, some of you may have heard. He said, if you think for a second you can think that you have the audacity that you can catch yourself up into the Spirit and walk into the throne room of God and talk to God, you must think you're crazy. Well, I'm going to tell you, the Word of God tells me in Hebrews 4:16 to come boldly into the throne of grace for mercy when I have a need. And I'm telling you, I don't care if you're a doctor of theology from Dallas Theological or anywhere else, if what you tell me don't line up what's written in that book, I'm going to believe that book instead of you. My Jesus told me in His Word that I could catch myself up into the third heaven and walk boldly into the throne of grace anytime I want to, since the blood of Jesus. I can come in anytime. Well, let me tell you, I make lots of trips up there. Lots of trips up there. And I see God do lots of wonderful things. Don't we, Miss Gloria? We see the King do lots of wonderful things. So the thing about it is, realize that you can do anything this book says. Now, this book says right here, if you've confessed all your sins and you keep yourself from evil, what does it say? The wicked one cannot do what? He cannot touch you. How would you like to be able to know that you could walk through this earth and the devil would never be able to touch you or afflict your body with any kind of sickness and disease until the Lord gets ready to take you home? You would like that, wouldn't you, young lady? Me too. Well, I've learned that secret, praise God, and I'm going to tell you, it works extremely well. But you've got to believe these promises. Now then, what is the secret? No sin. No sin. If you sin, what do? You open the door, and the devil comes in. And since God's no respect to a person, just because Gloria is a fine little daughter of hers, is she any more His favorite than any one of you? Absolutely not. There is no difference. God sees nothing as far as anything of His children. We're all equal. And if we make a mistake, it's just written in the law. The devil, you sin, the demons come to get you. That's all there is to it. And that's why we come down with all these sickness and disease. Now, do you have to put up with that as a born-again Christian? No. When you become a born-again Christian, you are we getting close? We got a few minutes. I got another man back here who's got a question. Let me try to get this. What have we got, David? About 10 minutes? Okay, praise the King. I'm trying. Who was that had their hand up? You?
The question that I have is that when you were speaking on sickness, basically comes from sin.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Now, my question is, how is that, okay, like if you get the flu or whatever, or you get your common cold and you're sick, then you're saying that we need to examine ourselves to see if we've done any sin.
Yes, ma'am.
So you're really saying sickness comes from sin. Okay, what about when Job was in the Bible. Job hadn't really done anything. God allowed Job to be attacked. Are we not sometimes allowed? God allows. I feel like nothing in our lives happens unless God allows it. Then if God allows you to be sick, maybe, but not to a deathly sick, but just say sick, sometimes, would you agree with me that sometimes that's a test of our faith to stand on the scriptures that God has given us for healing? Or what would you say about that? Because I didn't understand that. To me, that I don't understand.
Okay, let me explain that to you. Now, in the Old Testament, Job was before the cross, right? So did any human being have power over the devil before the cross? No. No human being had power. Every one of us, since we were all tainted with sin, we were all servants of the devil. Every one of us. But when Jesus came, praise God, he was the first man that came that had no sin. So he beat the devil. He defeated him and destroyed him. And then when he left, who did he give that power to? His church. That's right, us. Now then, as long as we walk holy before God, we don't give no place to the devil, but God has still let the devil run loose on the earth. So the devil comes up to you, or this young lady back here, and he puts a symptom of a flu or a cold upon you. Today, what does the average Christian do when that comes upon them? They go to the doctor or just receive it or go to the medicine cabinet and say, oh, goodness, it's that time of the year. I've just come down with the flu. So for the next 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 weeks, you battle this thing with whatever you can. But I'm telling you, you don't have to have it. If you have no sin in your life, when that comes upon you, when you wake up in the morning with those symptoms, and the Lord says, consider all these various trials and tests pure joy. Because what they're doing is developing your faith. That's in James chapter 1 and 1 Peter chapter 1. So you consider all these trials and tests pure joy. So you wake up one morning and you got that headache. You got your nose stopped up. You got the scratchy throat. Instead of confessing that I'm sick, this is what you should do. You turn over and say, oh, devil, you just here again. Praise the Lord that I have been given power and authority over you. I'm not walking in no kind of sin.
We're going to have to stop right there today on the teaching, but we'll start there again tomorrow. We invite you to join us again tomorrow to hear the continuation of the Good Fight of Faith. If you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would contact our ministry center at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106, or go to the web at www.tlsm.org, www.tlsm.org, and there you can order these teachings as well as many other teachings free and postpaid. We would love to send them to you free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords, he is God and Lord of all, and we praise him and thank him for the privilege to teach his word.